Hey everybody, this is Tony with the Grounded Podcast, and today I'm talking about books that I've read over the winter break, heading into the spring season here, this early spring season. So I've read probably about 20 books over the last 5 or 6 months, from the beginning of November up until the end of March. So a lot of the books that I've read were really great. I've read, like I said, probably about 20 books at this point, but I do a lot of my reading over the autumn, spring seasons, going into early spring, and that's when I read a majority of my books. I usually try to read at least at the bare minimum 25 to 30 books a year. So, and they range in topics. They're not all on gardening, but I would probably say about half of them are on gardening, and I'm just trying to get just different perspectives on gardening and just, you know, everything of the like. But, you know, I have a lot of other favorites that I read on a regular basis. But this year, my goal for 2022, my goal has been to read 20, not 20, that's how many books I've read thus far, but my goal is to read 80 books this year. Last year I read for the entirety of the year was about 60 books, but this year I'm, you know, my goal is to up it 20 extra books. So the goal this year is to read 80 books, and this is a fun, you know, a fun goal for me to try to hit, even if I get halfway to that point. I'm in the minority, because a lot of people today, they just aren't reading as many books. And I want to kind of, like, you know, the whole Reading Rainbow thing, put that back out there. And now I will say I cheat a little bit. And I do a lot of, I read a lot of audiobooks. And with that being said, you know, probably half the books I'm reading are audiobooks. But when I'm reading those books, it's usually when I'm at work, because I have a situation to where I work for myself, so I don't have to worry about, you know, that being an issue. So I'm listening to books, and then I'll probably re-listen to those books again, and I'm writing down, you know, the highlights and notes when I'm listening, you know, going back and listening to those books again. But anyway, I'm highlighting a lot of the gardening books that I've read so far, and one of the books that really stuck out to me was Farming While Black. Soul Fire Farms, Practical Guide to Liberation on the Land. And this book is written by Leah Penniman, and it was published in 2018. And I was like, why haven't I read this book thus far? And I you know, came upon it last autumn when I was looking for new books, different perspectives on gardening and farming, you know, while being a person of color. And I've seen a lot of books as of late that have come out that are really, really, you know, pressing down on this particular subject. So I was thinking, you know what, I really need to jump into some of these books and really get a different perspective, although that perspective may be mine in of itself. But I was thinking, you know what, let's just go ahead and jump right into this book. But anyway, just talk about this book. This is a great book. It's part agricultural guide, part manifesto, and you really get all of how to garden, when gardening, farming, and building your soil, which Leah goes into great detail on within the book itself. And it's one of the first comprehensive manuals of people of African heritage, and supplies plenty of resources to start farming and to get back to the land right now. So the book starts off with a quote from Malcolm X, and it says, Revolution is based on land. Land is the basis of all independence. Land is the basis of freedom, justice, and equality. End quote. So, you know, now to be clear, this is a book for everyone. But the book does point out the racial injustices that have occurred to people of color over the last several hundred years, but does so in a way that doesn't necessarily beat you over the head with it, all while bringing to the forefront the things that Monsanto has done along with other companies along the way. Now, the following is a description of the book, and it says, some of our most cherished sustainable farming practices have roots in African wisdom. Yet discrimination and violence against African American farmers has led to their decline from 14% of all growers in 1920 to less than 2% today. So further, black communities suffer disproportionately from illnesses related to lack of access to fresh food and healthy natural ecosystems. And as we've seen of late, we've seen a absolute collapse in ecosystems, whether it's the bees, which has been highlighted most, you know, out of everything, to smaller things that we're probably not noticing as much. Like, I've noticed it as just as of late, recently, have you seen that many fireflies? Or if you're in certain regions of the area, like maybe the Gulf area or the Southeast area, Florida, there aren't as many love bugs. I haven't seen maybe one or two over the last couple of months. And this is the season where there are supposed to be a lot of love bugs because they are just everywhere. They used to be. And about 5 years ago, I started to see a slow decline in love bugs and in a lot of different insects and bugs, you know, in those areas. So they're just these small things that are just starting to come to the forefront. And you know, anyway, I'm not going to jump into that whole topic of ecosystem, because that's a whole different topic in and of itself. So I'm going to jump back into the you know, just basic description of the book itself. And it says, Soulfire Farm, co-founder, you know, it was co-founded by the author, activist, and farmer, Leah Penniman. Which is committed to ending racism and injustice in our food system through innovative programs such as the Black Latinx Farmers Immersion. And it's basically a sliding scale farm share CSA and youth food justice leadership training program. Now, Penniman is part of a global network of farmers working to increase farmland stewardship by people of color, restore Afro-Indigenous farming practices, and end food apartheid. Not food deserts. That has a negative connotation to it, and she brings this fact and this point out over and over again within the book. And this is something that I think that we need to reframe when we're talking about food deserts. We need to say food apartheid, because it's a targeted and it is really you know, targeted towards people of color. Now, this is a one-of-a-kind guide that provides readers with a concise how-to for all aspects of small farming, including land resources, finding those land resources, writing a farm business plan, restoring degraded land through no-till and biological tillage, crop planning for vegetables, fruits, and herbs. Urban farming, including a guide to laws and land access and preserving harvest and saving seed. And there's just so much more within this book that I found to be very, very inspiring, and it just can give you the tools that you need right now to jump into whether it's small-scale farming or gardening. And I think that this book is right on time, and it really presents you with a how-to way to get into small farming, or whatever you may want to do at this point. Maybe it's just a patio garden, or your, you know, urban gardening, or a small backyard garden. I'm in that kind of like a area where I'm in between. I've got about 7 raised beds, but I got a food forest area, and I'm turning my front lawn into a edible landscape and with flowers and a habitat for pollinators, bees. This is just everything, and I'm just starting to really gear up for something big down the line, and I'm starting to start my process for finding some acreage. I'm really comfortable with having less than 5 acres, so that's something that I'm going to look for right outside the city limits to really build upon. And this book has really helped me to find those things that you can use on your journey, whatever part of your journey that you're on. This book will help you within that, and there's so much more in this book. Like I've said, you just have to pick up the book. Hey, if you go to Scribd, you can actually get a 30-day free trial where you can read as many books, audiobooks, as you want. And I would say to definitely do that, to kind of like jumpstart your reading process. And just, if you're wanting to get this book, it's on there. For the most part, this is the best app that I have ever found as far as expounding upon information that you already have or you want to gain. And this app will definitely do. Of course, I'm not sponsored by Scribd whatsoever. This is just my own personal, you know, experience with the app, and this will really help with getting you jump started. And honestly, once you get into this, you know, app, the 30-day, once that 30 days is over, it's about $10 a month after. I found this to be so valuable, because I would probably buy tens of books, a month, and this is saving me so much, because I get $10 I'm paying, and then I go in and I basically just read all I want, or listen to all the audiobooks that I want, whether it's for my business, strategic books, or think just anything you're interested in, whether it's comics or movies, or you want to learn the history behind, any topic. You just insert topic here, and it's just so interesting. Whether you want to go back and read old classics like The Wizard of Oz, or just anything, that's a public domain, so I don't have to worry about any. But anyway, this is a really interesting book to read. Can you tell I'm a little bit excited? Now, throughout the book, Penniman, Leah, she includes an uplift sidebars to elevate the wisdom of the African farmers and activists whose work informs the techniques described, as well as an honest and transparent look at real work being done at the Soulfire Farm every single day. So this is a great, great book, and this is one of my first recommendations of books that I would say go out and check out if you are so inclined to do so. And with all that being said, we're going to go into the second book. Now this is, and it's so funny because the name of the book, second, is actually in the title, but this is one of my, this is by one of my favorite authors. I've read several of his books, and this is a book published by Michael Pollan, and it came out in 1991. And of course, it has been revised with new information, but this book is really great, and it's called Second Nature: A Gardener's Education. And this book is a timeless book, I would say. A wonderfully written book. This is Michael Pollan's first book. And it's a collection of essays about gardening and so much more that's arranged and laid out in seasons. So as you're reading this book, you're going through the different seasons as Michael Pollan himself went through them. And it talks about his gardening journey and where he was and how he started gardening and where he was at the time. And how a lot of these different influences influenced him and just his overall outlook on food itself. And if you are really interested in getting a really different perspective on gardening and food sourcing, this is definitely a book for you. Now, in the book, Pollan describes the relationship between the wild and gardens, nature versus cultivation, and nature versus chemicals. And it's literally poetry. The book is poetry. It's just so engrossing, and it just pulls you in, and the stories are just so delightful to listen to. I mean, this book goes well beyond gardening, like I've said, and it draws from history, ecology, religion, literature, and philosophy. And it's definitely a highly recommended book from me. Now, we're going to move on to the next book. Now, Farming for the Long Haul, which is written by Michael Foley, and the full title it's a pretty long title, Farming for the Long Haul, Resilience and the Lost Art of Agricultural Inventiveness. Now, this was a book that was a absolute joy to read, you know, and I'm highlighting it, I'm recommending it, so of course it was, you know, as far as I can see, but I this book is very, very detailed. It lays out some different ideas on farming, and farming not necessarily, not only for now, but for the future as well. And it's beautifully written. And as an urban farmer with aspirations to be a homesteader on a little less than 5 acres, no more than 20 miles from the largest city possibly, with a group of like-minded individuals, at least 150 others. So, you know, I know that's a lot. That's a whole loaded statement from me there. So that we can form our own community with laws, grow our own food, etc. This book drew me in from the very beginning. Like I said, I know all of that was a lot, you know, I spilled out right there. But reading Farming for the Long Haul gave me so many ideas and made me aware of issues I had no idea were issues. And it really resonated with me a lot, and it presented quite a few solutions to a lot of the problems that not only about the farming and that the farming community has, but the world in general. Now, here's a brief description of Farming for the Long Haul. So it's all about this notion that we are in a state where the world's resources are coming to a close. I haven't gotten to the description yet, but this is kind of like a brief synopsis right before I jump into the actual description of the book. But it gives us a dire picture, but at the same time, It really, really highlights things that we can do on a small scale right now within our own gardens, urban gardens, and farms. And it says, it's all but certain that the next 50 years will bring enormous, will bring enormous, not to say cataclysmic, disruptions to our present way of life. World oil reserves will be exhausted within that time frame, as will the lithium that powers today's most sophisticated battery, suggesting that transportation is equally imperiled. Now, with that being said, you know, the very device I am doing this podcast on is, you know, a lot of these devices are ran by lithium batteries, and these batteries are in everything, everywhere. And a lot of our vehicles that are powered, and we're so dependent on these devices, these comforts that we have, and just for them to not be there, excuse me, within the next 50 years is unconceivable to a lot of us, because we're so, especially the younger generation from the millennials on down, they're so dependent on these things. And it's like, what if they aren't there, and we haven't learned to garden, to farm, to do all of these things? The average farmer is 60 years old, and now I think that age has been bumped up to 65 years as of the time of this recording. So, you know, we have a lot to contend with, and this is something that is going to happen really soon, and we're going to be in a dire situation as far as I can see, because if we have no one that's learning to farm or garden or urban farm or just do these self-sufficiency, have learned these things, these trades, these skills, we're going to be at a loss, because these resources that we're so dependent on within our daily comforts and life, they're no longer going to be there. And let me tell you, to be completely fair and honest with this, you know, what I'm about to say, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on, right? These older men and women that are in Congress, Senate, wherever they may be, that are running things, and, you know, they are older in age. I mean, you have, well, I'm not going to name any names, but you have certain individuals, they're in their 70s and 80s right now. They're not worrying about 50 years from now, because they're not going to be here, right? So, you know, and you have the young senators from, well, I'll just say the state of New York, and she or he, they are really trying to push these green deals forward, and, you know, whatever deals, you know, I don't think that is a perfect deal, but at the same time, it's very progressive, it's very forward moving, forward thinking, and I think that these are, you know, the things that we need to do. I think this is where we need to be as far as the natural world is concerned. But, you know, we have to do something right now. We can't wait until, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now. And honestly, at this point right now, we have to start doing some things as far as the natural world is concerned, because we know climate change is a major issue, and the science is 100% behind it. There's no disputing this. You know, we know the natural world actually goes through these culling things. You know, I think that the actual coronavirus was a part of nature saying, hey, we need to slow down, we need to do this, because we saw during that brief period of about 4 months where it was complete lockdown, we saw the pollution dropped. We saw those before and after pictures in different, and it's not just here in the United States, it was in different parts of the world. We saw that was just, I mean, it was just day and night. And it, just imagine if we could do that and these laws into place right now and just do 10 years. I mean, just if we only did that for 3 months, where we just had complete mobilization of immobilization of just everything, you know, for a month or two. I mean, I know that's completely, you know, just not possible and it's extreme, but just imagine if we just did that for a month or two every year, and then we put that on top of these legislative laws that would help with climate change, we would see a big change. Now, of course, it wouldn't undo everything we've done over the last 100 years or plus, but it would help, and it would eventually get us to a point to where future generations would be able to have a planet that is really, really inhabitable. Because at this point, right now, like I said, we're 50 years away. I mean, by the time that 50 years comes, I will be, you know, 5 or 6 years away from being 100 years old. So it's most likely that I will, by the end of my life, I will start to see the devastation of that. Now, what I'm talking about is for those that are in their 20s and 30s, but I think that we all should possibly be doing something. Okay, so I completely went on a tangent right there, but I'm just gonna pull it back and just go back into talking about the book. But this is a really great book to really talk about some of the issues within the book. We're talking about the lithium that powers most of the sophisticated batteries today, and that's where I went on my tangent. But so there's another even more dire limitation that is looming. At current rates of erosion, the world's topsoil will be gone in 60 years. That will be completely gone. That is a game changer within everything. And in Leah Penniman's book, Farming While Black, this talks about, she also talks about building the topsoil, building the soil on any land that you are thinking about growing on and farming on. Building that topsoil first, within that first year or two. And I know this is not something that is, you know, accessible to everyone and for everyone to do, but if you have a backyard garden, you can start there. This is what you can do within your own backyard gardens, whether you have a small homestead, a urban garden, urban farm. You can start with that there in those processes. It's these little small things that add up to larger things down the line. And this is basically where we've arrived now. You know, it was small things for decades, and now we are where we are. So I think if we take the same approach with small, very small things, and if a lot of people are doing them over the next few decades, we can undo some of what we've done. And it's going to take not a year or two, it's going to take probably the next 50, 60 years to get to a point to where it's not as bad as it would be, and we can start to reintroduce some positives back into the natural world. I would say at this point it's going to take probably 200 years, right, to completely undo everything that we have done. But this isn't, you know, this is anecdotal. This is not really something that science has been has done and is not fully behind yet. But we know the steps that we're going to have to take are going to have to be drastic, and they're going to have to be done like yesterday. Like, if you want something, you know, anyway, I'm not going to get into that whole thing because that's a whole nother tangent. But with all that being said, you know, fresh water sources are in jeopardy too. I mean, this is, you know, and I don't know if you've ever watched the documentary. It's on Netflix. I'm not going to plug them here, but Nestle basically went into all these places, and now they pretty much own a majority of the water, and they're just pumping out water from all these areas. It's a really, anyway, I'm gonna put that in the show notes, and we can talk about that at another day, another time, because that's a whole nother topic, and I don't want this to be a 3-hour podcast today, because I know you have better things to do than to listen to me spout on for about 2 hours about water. Anyway, in short, the large-scale agricultural and food delivery system, as we know it, at most a few decades before it completely exhausts itself and the planet with it. So farming for the long haul, is about building a viable small farm economy that can withstand the economic, political, and climatic shock waves that the 21st century presents. And it draws on the innovative work of contemporary farmers, but more than that, it shares the experiences of farming societies around the world that have maintained resilient agricultural systems over centuries of often turbulent change. Indigenous agriculturalists, peasants, and traditional farmers have all created broad strategies for survival through good times and bad. Many of them prospered while doing so. Now, they also developed particular techniques for managing soil, water, and other resources sustainably. And some of these techniques have been taken up by organic agriculture and permaculture, which is something I do and I absolutely love. Permaculture is one of the best ways to start this whole process of what I was talking about, building the soil and creating an ecosystem and all these other things. But many more of them are virtually unknown, even among alternative farmers. So this book lays out some of the strategies and presents techniques and tools that might prove most useful to farmers today and in the uncertain future. So this is a really great book that I think that we should all dive into. This is probably one of the most pertinent books for right now, and to really jump into and to get into a mindset of starting to restore what essentially we have destroyed. Some of it inadvertently, and some of it done by big corporations and companies. And like I said, I don't want to end this podcast on a sour, negative note, but this book is one of the best books, and it lays out the dire circumstances that we are in, but at the same time, it gives us hope. I mean, there were things about drones, farming. We can use this technology because if you really get to the base of everything that we're using, whether it's technologically or just otherwise, it's all from nature. So we can form a coalition, so to speak, of the two worlds and bridge them completely together. And I think this is a really great book to jump into and to give us some really positive, hopeful insights into the future and what we can do in gardening. Well, this has been Tony with the Grounded Podcast, and I hope you guys enjoyed this episode today. This is really one of my favorite times of year because spring is really sprung around here. I've got everything shooting up all over the place. Permaculture garden is doing great. Food forest is outstanding right now. I've got apples starting to bloom out, so I should be seeing apples here within the next couple of months. And just I have a new Meyer lemon tree I've actually introduced to the garden. I have about 500 sunflowers, all sizes, shapes, colors, just everything. And I've got zinnias. I've got so many different things within the garden. It's just unbelievable how it's popping. Peppers, just so many different things that I'm trying to introduce and trying to introduced to my garden and trying to further grow and expound on what I'm actually doing now within the garden. I just took up some red clover, and this is really fun. I actually kept the roots in, and I'm building that soil. That's something that I took from Leah Penniman's book, Farming While Black. This is a really great way to build your soil. It's a really great book. These are all just wonderful books to read, and I would definitely check out Scribe, and you know, get a 30-day free trial and go check that out. Scribe, that's S-C-R-B-D, that's Scribe, and you just go check that out, and you won't be disappointed, I promise. Well, this has been Tony with the Green Blog Podcast, and I'm signing off, and I'll see you guys on the next episode of the Grounded Podcast. Did I just say the Green Blog Podcast? I've been saying that for years. It's the Grounded Podcast. See you guys next time. Bye-bye.